Lean in, dive in, unleash your purpose into the world. The time for hiding in the shadows of your own greatness are over. The shift is here. You've heard about it on the Supernova podcast, and you've heard about it through the Global Movement Summit. And now we're taking those conversations to the next level. And we're taking your invitation to greatness to whole new heights, to whole new levels, to help you unleash your purpose and make the change that you need to make in the world. Here's to transforming, here's to transcending, and here's to this week's conversation. What if your thoughts were as up-to-date as your technology? Well, it actually is possible, and today's guest is going to prove that. Diane Collins is an original thinker and media personality who happens to also be the author of a 6-time award-winning bestseller, Do You Quantum Think? Yep, it's all about new thinking that will rock your world. Hi, Diane. It is fantastically amazing to have you on the Supernova podcast and to share this quantum leap with you.
Wow, thank you so much, Lena. That is very supernova of you to say that to me.
But Diane, it's absolutely true. I mean, these are the quantum conversations that not only I love having, but I've just seen how they shift and crack open the ground beneath our feet and take us into the place where we really need to be as humanity. So thank you for sharing it.
Isn't it though? You know, I don't know if you are aware, but I wrote a blog. Occasionally, when I have time, I write on the Huffington Post. And I don't know, did you see my blog called There's a New Mainstream Out There? And you're probably part of it. I don't know. Yeah. And you know, what happened is that I was going on all these interviews since Do You Quantum Think came out. And there were hundreds of interviews. And then every time I go on, I like to connect with the host and their audience. And so I always listen to other people's interviews, and it's just what you're talking about, Lena. And I thought, wow, there is so much excellent work out there, incredible distinctions being made, you know, at such an awakening consciousness level, and yet no one's really talking about it. So I would go on all these shows, and I'd say, well, you know, we need a new narrative, to use a media term. We need to create a new narrative. And then I realized that I would say to my husband is my partner, Alan Collins, in everything in life and business. And we have Quantum Think clients, and they would say to me, well, you know, I saw something that the company should do. But the other team who was working on it, and it took them a year to find out, I said, well, look, if you see something and no one else does, it's because that is an aspect of your own unique wisdom.
Oh, sure.
I'm saying this story because I know you're on this topic for people big time. And so I said, if you see it and no one else does, instead of going into, you know, the automaticity of the complaining or, you know, what I call least action pathway, the least creative, least conscious, you know, action at just blurting out of your mouth, you know, complaining, why didn't they do it this way? They should have done it that way. If you see something, that's your silent tap on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You step forward. And you put it out, whether you're formally accountable for that or not, put it into the mix. That's what we're all here for. When the wisdom is coming through you, get that wisdom out. So I'm going around on all these shows going, we need a new narrative. We need a new conversation to displace the one that's on, you know, the conventional media. And so, which is the least action pathway of the conventional media, what is wrong, went wrong, or will go wrong, right? So let's get a bigger picture here, a new, expansive, more accurate, you know, up-to-date conversation, a more optimistic one. And then I realize, hello, I'm the one saying, I've got to say, that's what I did. So I wrote this blog where I declared, I'm saying this for everyone, because we all talk about, okay, are you creating reality or not? If we're saying we create our own reality, how do you do that? By distinguishing something new. So, or in a new way, either one. So I put this out, I declared, there's a new mainstream, and you're probably part of it. And I call it the consciousness crowd. That was always my way of kidding around, you know, to get out of the terminology of new age, right, which had so much baggage with it. So I thought, I would talk to my publicist or my friends, and I'd go, you know, the consciousness crowd. Consciousness crowd. You know, people who are interested. So many people comment. First of all, it went viral for 11,000 likes on one blog on the Huffington Post, 3,200 Facebook shares, almost 400 Twitter shares. So people loved it because I was saying, here's what the conscious, you know, here's what the new mainstream, here's who they are. It's across every age group, every country, every walk of life. It's not just, you know, people who are the, who you would think of, you know, as the typical light worker type. It's everybody because it's universal. And then what happened is people started commenting and writing. They were going, thank you. Thank you for saying this. And people connected with me and they said, finally, someone said it. And I'll tell you one last thing on this because I don't take up the whole time on a monologue here. But what happened is I was contacted by a woman who her deal is called Cutting Edge Law. Something that I'm very interested in because that, you know, every system and structure has to be rethought now, but from a more conscious place. But she actually took a piece of that blog and is including it in her next book, which is being published by the American Bar Association, which is basically, right, the industry organization in the United States that runs the lawyership here. So that's what can happen when someone steps up, one little step of expressing your voice, of getting a little bit bold. And, you know, a lot of things happen from it.
Diane, I am so happy that you shared that story. It is so profound and so true. And we never really know what the moment's going to hold until we really lean into it. So many people sit there trying to figure out all the answers. They bury themselves in books and Wikipedias and are on an endless search or research to find the answer. But just simply leaning into a moment, just simply activating it and just knowing that you can own the conversation and that it's yours to have, that can just spark so many amazing things on so many different orbits. It really is a quantum leap, isn't it?
Well, yes. And you know, quantum think, which which is a system of thinking comprised of 21 principles and practices I call distinctions and new thinking, which, as you're saying, is really is ancient and new at the same time. Because I saw that what became my quest when I was much younger, and people always say, well, how did you come to quantum think? I say, I didn't choose it. It chose me. Because what I saw is as a pattern in my life, and this is in the chapter, which is called the Holo Movement of Purpose. And Holo Movement is a word that was coined by the late great quantum physicist David Bohm, B-O-H-M. And he said that we don't experience life as one continuous whole, even though it is, because there was this movement that went on in the universe of things becoming, he called it in the explicate order of life, which is, you know, the obvious, the seen, the everyday, what's present now. Some people would say front burner. I don't like cliches too much, but, and then they would go get enfolded back into the fabric of the universe, into the implicate order, implied or hidden, and that there was this constant thing going on. And we know that, you know, when you think about electrons or photons, you know, going in and out of existence, like a quantum leap style, like one, you see it and then you don't, because it goes into the possible world, which for quantum physicists is real, you know, the possible and the actual world. So anyway, the whole movement of purpose, what I do is quantum thinking is not about science per se. It's about how the discoveries of science have shaped the way we think, and how we can use the newer cutting edge discoveries to proactively shape the way we think. And what that's the premise of quantum think is that we're in a quantum age. Well, there's a few things. One is that if thinking creates reality, what creates thinking? And that we don't realize we imagine we're all independent thinkers thinking freely, but actually in my quest to have us go from actually living from just knowing it conceptually. Everything is available, as you say, right? These principles are familiar. This is where you can get stuck thinking, oh, I already know this. Because this is about going from knowing it, coaching it, espousing it, standing on a rooftop and yelling it, and actually living it, embodying it. So the premise is we think in a system, like everything in the universe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The system is conditioned by the prevailing worldview, very simply. The beliefs, assumptions, and ideas about the nature of reality and how it works. And so even those of us, Lena, who are on a conscious path, who have chosen conscious evolution, who know about the global shift, who know that we belong, you know, as active participants, co-creators in it, that collaborators in many ways are thinking is still very much conditioned by the industrial age worldview. So we're in here now, the 21st century, as you mentioned Einstein. These new discoveries, the basic paradigm shift is from a matter-based reality. Oh, everything comes from matter, you know. Oh, consciousness comes from the brain. No. To a mind-based reality. Father of quantum mechanics, Max Planck, who said, there is no matter as such. And we know under a high-powered microscope that there's mostly empty space. So this is what they mean. It's a consciousness space. So what does this mean to us? Because there's do you quantum thing, as you pointed out, I say, okay, why do I care? And I use the premises of TV. You know, why should I care, and what happens next when you're proposing the premise? So why should we care is because we've been brought up under what I lovingly call the old worldview thinking, where we didn't learn in conventional education about the faculties of mind, intent, right? Intuition, the thing that enables us to create anything in the ordinary, everyday human existence, intent, using the power of intuition to connect in directly to information we need from this infinite mind that we're all, you know, floating in, how to work and transmute and transform subtle energy, how to tune into it. I call these the five natural faculties of mind. Intent, intuition, subtle energy, resonance, which causes anything to manifest. You know, when we say, hey, I resonate with that, it's all the frequency range of what you resonate with. And you can shift your own resonance and learning how to do that. And meditation, which I consider more than a practice, it's an actual natural faculty of mind. So when you say these things are known, yes. However, since we haven't really become that familiar with these principles as a whole system, as these faculties of mind that we really can master and have life be easier and more joyful, you know, what else is there? That is why we should care. So what Quantum Think enables is a literal quantum leap in consciousness, so that you're looking and living from the expanded new worldview rather than looking at it, trying to get to those, to live those principles from your current undifferentiated perspective.
Diane, I'm so loving this conversation. There's so many ahas, there's so many profoundness and just total alignment that I'm just like the most excited little camper right now. And I just wanted to give the listeners a little bit more of an experience of that, because maybe they're feeling a resonance to it. And maybe it's starting to permeate and kind of get under their skin. But let's take it a little bit deeper. Like, what would it look like if we embraced all of this? If we really evolved to that pinnacle moment, what would our world look like if we had that?
I love it. How would we be different, or how can we give an experience right now? Let's have an experience right now. Okay, because the method of quantum thinking that I call a new worldview of learning is the art of distinguishing. Now, how do we integrate? Because the whole thing was, remember, my quest is, how do we go from even just knowing it to living it? You know, it's one, we all know what to do in our lives. We know what to do. Even if you're not, you know, exactly sure about how you want to express your purpose right now, there's a way of discovering that easily when you connect to the intelligence that surrounds us. Okay, so going back, the art of distinguishing. How do we integrate knowledge? Through experience. So, for example, you're in South Africa. Where are you exactly?
Cape Town.
Cape Town. Okay. You're in Cape Town, South Africa. I've never been there. I'm in Miami Beach, Florida, United States. Have you ever been here?
Nope. Okay. In the movies, though.
Right. Okay. You've seen it on television. So if you wanted to know, what is it like to live in Miami Beach, right? You could see television about it, which probably is very slanted. You think it's like the mafia or something here. But anyway, you could see anything about it. You could, you know, someone could bring you, you know, a mojito, which is really a Cuban drink, but it's very big in Miami. You know, you could have all these things about it. I could talk to you about it. You could read a book about it. But it wouldn't integrate into your way of being because you didn't actually experience it.
Yeah.
So when you would come here and start to live from the experience of this place, then it's something you can never forget. And you don't even have to think about what was it like to live? It's like you just know it. So it's something like that. It's like that. How do you give yourself an experience? That's the intent of my book, Do You Quantum Think? Is that you connect to your own awareness. As you said earlier, Lena, this is universal in us. Like, why do people connect to it so strongly? Because it's getting activated in you in the present moment as you read. And that is the intent of my work. So when you're reading, and I say right in the beginning of the book, I'm not telling you something you don't already know at some level of your being. If you didn't you know it in some way with a big capital K on know, you wouldn't be able to relate to it. So as you read, the art of distinguishing is to bring something into your awareness in the present moment. In such a way that it alters your relationship with it. So it gets integrated because you're literally giving yourself an experience. And the experience is in a heightened awareness. Mm-hmm. So that's, I'm giving you that. That I just did distinguish a new worldview of learning where, you know, the old worldview of learning is what? Acquiring information that you then try to apply in the how-to way. Now that way of learning is still very much needed in the world. New worldview thinking, quantum thinking we're not throwing out the old worldview and coming with the new worldview, even though a lot of what new science has discovered made a lot of the old worldview science obsolete. For example, that objects are not solid and fixed. Therefore, reality is not science solid and fixed. How does that map onto our thinking? We're conditioned around circumstances being that's the way it is. That's the way the world is. Oh, there'll always be people dying of hunger. There'll always be war. There'll always be this. Because you asked, how does it play out, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's just the way my mother is. That's just the way I am. You know, mm-hmm.
It's our truth.
Exactly. It's not personal. It's cultural, human culture. Mm-hmm. It's not ethnic or national or any other kind of culture that way. Yeah. It has to do with humanity having reached a level of development where, you know, we project from ourselves. So we projected in the 17th century, the universe is like a giant machine. And then that got mapped on. Oh, the body is like a machine divided up into its constituent parts. Mm-hmm. Learn how it works in a mechanical cause and effect way. Figure out what it's made of. And we'll be able to predict and control nature. So what did that do in our thinking? And this is all in the background, Lena. It's not like anybody's saying this. Mm-hmm. I'm distinguishing it right now to get us in touch with it. And it's nothing bad. It's just looking at every model has its limits. Mm-hmm. And we've reached this time of a great global shift, which is a shift in consciousness. Which will then, you know, of course, manifest in every way in the actual world that we live in daily. But when you're looking at, well, we want to create something new. We want to be able to literally, you know, be functioning in a more workable, a more humane, a more delightful world. Then we need to have a new structure for the way we hold, you know, our relationship to our thinking and why thought creates reality. Every mastery tradition said it. The Buddha, all that you are is a result of what you've thought. So when you get this command with your thinking, so looking at, again, that old world view, when you look at, oh, it taught us, I'm using taught in quotes, to be victims of circumstance. Right? Or I say for the kids, old worldview, circumstance rules. New worldview, intent rules. Because nothing is fixed and solid. Everything is energy in flux informed by intelligence. And we, as human observers, are the focal point with our attention and intent. We focus energy. What we hold in our awareness, you could say mind, that's how I use mind, what we hold in awareness is shaping what we see, what we bring to the observation. But anyway, so you look at the old and how did that shape us? Predict and control. Well, things had to be either this way or that. And you look at in the physical dimension, we look separate. We look different. Right? I'm black, you're white. You're conservative, I'm liberal. You're this, you're that. And it's like and you look at this divisiveness everywhere because people haven't been connected to the fact of the actual connectivity, the interconnection, the unity of all, that there are distinctions. but no actual separation. Now, when you get to the quantum worldview and you realize, as the scientists say, every entity, every object gives, which is energy intelligence, gives off its own, that's how Edgar Mitchell, who describes quantum holography, that it gives off its own history of that object. And there's this constant energy intelligent exchange going on. So I don't know, for some reason I'm getting technical on this, with you, but your listeners can understand this.
Oh, yeah.
And that, I think that's why, because it doesn't always come out this way.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is that when you look at it, it's like we're in a constant exchange, even on a physical level.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no actual separation. And when, you know, why do we treat the earth, right? Mother Earth Gaia, the way we do, because we're not connecting that, oh, we're the organ, just as we have organisms that mm-hmm. are dependent on our individual body uh-huh. for their life. We're dependent on the Mother Earth. We're all the organisms on, you know, among the other creatures, mm-hmm. on her body, mm-hmm. dependent on Mother Earth for our life. Well, if people were actually in touch with that,
mm-hmm.
there wouldn't be an ecological problem.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, so this is how it works. So you look at it in your own life, mm-hmm. because under in the old worldview, it also taught us to go step by step, you know, time moves only in one direction, linear, you know, let me get everything lined up before I make a decision. And yet we're in a world that is, because of the internet and amazing technologies, spaceless, timeless, increasing complexity, accelerating rate of change. Everyday uncertainty because of the systems and structures, you know, what was born under the old worldview thinking that is no longer effective in that model will be breaking down now. So we're mm-hmm. seeing the dichotomy of the breakdown of the old for the new to emerge.
Sure.
And when you...
It's almost ironic that in a world governed by the principle of oneness, where this is our social media threads, where we're constantly regurgitating things from the secret.
Right.
That we're feeling so disconnected, that we're not seeing the universal truth and the universe in its spectacularness and its glory.
Exactly. And so how I say it there is if, you know, either we're creating reality at your convenience, you know.
Yeah.
When you believe this, or then you'll say, oh, yeah, we're creating reality. And then when something doesn't go your way or you don't agree with it, you go, well, wait a minute, that doesn't work. The power of intent, you know.
The universe has nothing to do with it.
So it's like, what is it? So to me, what you just said, Lena, it's like, do we want to live? Because here's a very important, what I consider probably the most important fundamental aspect of looking from a quantum worldview is the idea of no absolute reality mm-hmm. other than what you would think of as, you know, source, creator, divine, God, however you relate to that. I'm talking about for everyday human life.
Yeah.
That there's no absolute way that it is. That, I mean, this is simple. You know, you could take, let's say, somebody you work with, a coworker, and that person's name is Andy,
mm-hmm.
and you think, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about you in general, and you think Andy is a jerk, that Andy is married to Mary, and Mary thinks Andy is like, you know, the living and the best in the world. Mm. So which reality is it?
Yeah.
That's what's called the observer effect. In mm-hmm. quantum think, I call it observer created reality. So what does it mean? Reality is context dependent.
Yes.
It means, I say it simply, what you bring is what you get. So the question is, when you look at this doomsday, you know, the end of the world, apocalyptic, you know, that, or do you want to look at this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, which it is, by the way, I'm an astrology, avid student of astrology for many years. Mm-hmm. But you look at it and you go, which context, if reality is context dependent, meaning, and I can choose the context that I want to live from. Do I want to live from, very simply, is this glass half empty or half full? Mm. Either way, the circumstance is the same, right? X yeah. amount of water in the glass. Mm-hmm. So either way, the conditions are the same. Which context are you going to choose to live from? Mm. So we're living from, you and I, and I'm sure your listeners, uh-huh. the context, this is a global shift of an awakening of humanity that is bringing about an amazingly beautiful, optimistic world. Mm-hmm. And it is going to take some breaking down of the old. So we're looking in that context. Mm-hmm. You are, I'm sure, right?
Absolutely.
And yet, so, but then people say, but, you know, the Bible said, and there'll be floods and this and that, fires. Well, we have that, you know, you could explain that in many different ways, also related to consciousness. But mm-hmm. the point being that if we are the stewards of the reality that we're creating, co-creating, and by the way, the age of Aquarius is the age of humanity, the brotherhood, sisterhood of humankind coming together. The symbol is the water bearer, you know, like carrying the water to the brothers and sisters. And yeah, I just got a chill when I said that. But
I felt it too.
You did? Wow. Uh-huh. I love it. And that, it really is. I mean, it's moving because we're coming together and each one of us is needed, is necessary. So we can hold that vision. Now we know, even if you've never been into consciousness or anything esoteric or metaphysical or anything, mm-hmm. that if you're just an athlete and you got training and it said, you know, visualize yourself coming over the finish line first in the race. Mm-hmm. And you know that that has an effect. Yes. Well, what we know today is that there is scientific evidence. The cutting edge science is showing why that is, you know, why that's working, mm-hmm. how it is we're able to tap into information at a distance from us. That's mm-hmm. our intuition, mm-hmm. is our access mm-hmm. into what's called non-local mind. That mind is non-local. What does it mean? Not located. Mm-hmm. Not, it doesn't, you know, our mind doesn't end at the edge of our body. That mind is not, it doesn't have spatial temporal qualities like an object on my desk. Mm-hmm. So therefore it can go anywhere, but it's not really going, it's connecting. So mm-hmm. we have the opportunity together. And I know you have your, you know, your global summit and you think this way mm-hmm. to connect. Mm-hmm. And to hold these grand visions for where we're all going. And the more connected you are, this is my little part in it, with your whole framework for thinking, which of course takes you beyond thinking to a new condition for your life, mm-hmm. and with your actual faculties of mind and with these principles that we can, you know, learn as we distinguish them, then everything, you know, you're just going to be better at it mm-hmm. and you're going to be happier. I mean, mm-hmm. that's about as simple as you can get.
There's just such a profound gift in that. And there's such a profound gift in obviously experiencing that, because that's what we're ultimately looking for. That's that deeper connection, that search, that empowerment that we're all driven to experience. and for us again to take ownership and to kind of go, it's not something that somebody else has to deliver to us, but that we are as much of the universe as the universe is us. We've all heard of the whole idea of we're all made of stardust, so we're made of the same galactical material that is penetrating and moving and weaving through this world. So we're not that far-fetched from it. This isn't a far-fetched reality. This isn't something that's so out there, and yet we hold it so out there. We hold it as out there as 3D printing, which is becoming the new norm. We hold it out there as what once flying was, where now we're flying to meetings around the world. There's such a different shift in
I know,
energy.
Isn't it wonderful?
I know.
But it's more, you know, it becomes more powerful. And this is where the art of distinguishing comes in. Because let's say we used to have people in our programs. Mm-hmm. You know, we've worked with in major corporations and agencies of the United States government and with the general public from around the world in teleconference programs presenting mm-hmm. Quantum Thing for many years. And what would happen is that, you were talking about, we would say, okay, there's three ways you can be in here. Of course, it's infinite possibility universe, but we would distinguish three ways, right?
Uh-huh.
You could be in here and you're going through the experience and you're just like completely unaware, you know, have no idea what's going on. Or hopefully nobody's in here like that. But the second way is that you could be in here getting the results. So let's say in your meeting with that group where people are getting the results of a conscious conversation, right? Collaborative conversation. And they're just experiencing the benefits of it. That's the second way. And then the third way is that you're getting the results, you're experiencing the benefits, and you're able to distinguish what enabled you to have that transformational shift.
Mm.
And so that's what I call the new worldview of learning, because like, let's, and you're so right though, Lena, about we know the field is shifting.
Yes.
So, everyone, you know, you watch TV commercials or entertainment. Okay, so it's maybe not quite there because we have to be very careful about one of the shifts from old worldview to new worldview thinking is from an either or, you know, it has to be this way or that way, my idea or yours, right? To a both and. So at the same, and this is what I feel is very important around living your purpose right now and looking at what your next expression is in your own career or, you know, whether you're paid or not paid for what you do in life. We all have our job with a capital J. But what in the looking at it in the both and, we realize we're coming together collectively. So the old, right, the old patriarchal, right, hierarchical, you know, why isn't the government fixing my life? You know, that one, or why isn't the management of my corporation, you know, doing something better? Is that everyone's needed because the society is so complex now. That there's no one entity that's going to do it for us. We have to come together and, you know, that's good. So the both end of it is that, yes, it's coming together and collaborating. But what are we coming together with is our individual, unique set of gifts, talents, experiences, proclivities, passions. And that brings me back to that I brought up before about the HOLA movement of purpose is that how I adapted David Bohm's HOLA movement. And this is where you distinguish your purpose. That's the principle in Quantum Think where you do that, number 18. And you look at everything that occurs in nature, occurs in patterns of relationship. Okay? And this is important for what you were saying, because we have, but the thing about it is looking at the pattern. And so, again, quantum thinking is about adapting this to everyday, ordinary, how does this apply in my life? So, or in your life, not mine, all of us, that you look at, okay, if we're coming together collectively, what are we bringing into the collective? We're bringing in our individuality, because every one of us is needed right now. So the more refined you can get in distinguishing who you are, your purpose, and this is how I do it in the clues, because for every one of the quantum thing distinctions, there's what I call a recreation. It's double entendre. Amusement for your mind, that's one thing. And the other thing is recreating the distinction in your life. That's where you give yourself an experience. You can get it just through reading, but you get it through doing the practice. So the practice for the whole movement of purpose, one of them, is this, it's like this set of questions. And the first thing is you imagine your life as one whole story, like a well-written novel or a screenplay. There's nothing in it that doesn't belong, and there's nothing in it that's left out. The difference being in life, we're still going. The novel ended, right? The movie ended, but we're still going. So it's not a perfect metaphor. But just think of it. The reason I say it that way is because do we really, you know, we know the world is holistic and holographic. Mm-hmm. It's whole systems. Mm-hmm. It's interpenetrating one another, wholes. But do we really live and think that way? So this is one example of how we can. Because in the old worldview of thinking, how it shows up is, well, I did that when I was age 20 to 25. I had that job, but that wasn't it. And then I went into this business, but I really didn't like that. And then I was doing that job over there because I was trying to figure out what I was doing. And so we see life in increments, in parts, right? Divide up the universal machine into parts, where now it's a universal mind. So it's not in parts. It's all integrated field. And so now you look at it. So when you start to imagine your life that way, well, then what were all those things? Well, I like to think of it this way. This is kind of my spin on it, Lena, is that we're given infinite intelligence is constantly training us to live our purpose, to express our purpose. Yes. So, right? So we're given, we're born into the right country with the right language. And if we move to another country, as my husband moved from England to the United States, whatever set of circumstances that you've been led to and made choices about your whole life, whatever proclivities, things you're attracted to, your passions, every bit of training along the way, there is a reason and a purpose of how it all fits in to the big picture called your life, because every bit of it trains us. You know, I'll give you a real example, is that I was a philosophy major in college. And then I thought, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to make any money? Right? And the big question, unless you're born into, you know, getting an endowment or something from your family. But anyway, which I wasn't getting. So it was like, okay, what am I going to do? I thought, well, why don't I become a psychologist? That's close. But by the way, the only thing I was ever interested in was evolution of consciousness, but they didn't have that in my school at the time. But anyway, so philosophy, now I'm getting a double major in psychology, and then I realized that wasn't for me. But eventually, I was got a job in corporate, in a Fortune 50 corporation.
Wow.
And I used to, and I did very well because I just did, you know, I got promoted a bunch of times. I became the manager for the state of Florida, and I used to sit in the corner office, and all I could think of was, how could I create a television series that transformed consciousness as you watch and entertain? And that's what I used to think about. And I'd think, why am I here? God, I know I'm here for a reason, but what is it? You know, and so you don't realize I had at the time. In that company, we had 600 or more, about 600 corporate clients. That's who we dealt with, business to business company. And so I got access, you know, like I got exposure into all these different corporate cultures. And also the business that I was running, it was a business and consumer credit reporting. It had a huge amount of detail. I mean, three managers before me got fired because they just couldn't handle the detail. And so, but I was born with the ability. This is in your soul blueprint astrologically, but I can take a lot of information. And organize it, and you see it in my book, right? In such a way that people can access it, can be good. So that I didn't realize at the time, because, right, I'm thinking entertainment, and I'm thinking consciousness, and I'm sitting in a corporate environment. And then later on, I meet my husband, and he's a natural coach, and he goes, well, I'm coaching people, but I don't really, you know, I don't know where it's going. I need a structure. I said, oh, don't worry, honey. I'll make you a structure. And then I realized that I would take what I was interested in at the time, which was science and spirituality. And it was already in me. And so I created a program that at the time he could deliver in corporations because I had that experience in being a manager, you know, in that job, which I thought, how did I end up here, you know? And I was given the experience so that I can authentically, I know that you're into authenticity and we're in that time now, I can authentically create and consult corporate executives because I have an experience of that culture. I know what the old worldview conditioning in those cultures are, and I know how to have it work for people, you know, be the catalyst for them to have it work, really. So that's what I mean by the whole movement of purpose, is you start to see that I was always showing people a new worldview. And then somehow that word quantum thing came to me. And so this is how, you know, you think, how do I discover my purpose? And your purpose isn't only one thing. Now you've had a lot of different, you've had a lot of exposure in different industries. Yeah. And how do you see that coming together? So when I read, you know, your website and looked at what you're doing, we have that in common where we've had a wide range of exposure to things.
Well, I totally resonate with your story and I totally share your insights and your unique perspective on purpose. It's been this collective thing. We spoke offline about the story of the supernova and how that came into being. And it was really mapping out and collecting all that data and seeing that story unfold. And what those possibilities were for me that allowed me to see my purpose in that. So I totally resonate with the way that you're holding it.
Exactly. So when you distinguish it for yourself, it's just, oh, okay. It's matter of fact. You know, a long time ago, I knew this gentleman, and he was a Vedic astrologer. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'll get a reading, you know? And they look more at patterns, you know, long-term, like cycles. You know, you're in the spiritual cycle or you're in this cycle. And so I was at the time, it was before I created the Quantum Think system, and it was like I was feeling very like a frustration level where I felt like there was something in me that had to come out, right? In the world. I like the way you talk about, you know, like getting your voice out, forget about the rabbit hole, and jump into the vortex. I love that quote from you. And it's like, I just, you know, I think a lot of people are feeling this now. That's why I'm sharing this, because I don't usually share this much of my story either, because I feel this is all our story. But it's like, just so we can reflect one another to one another. That's what we're doing here, right? Mm-hmm. So I was feeling like, there's something I have to say. There's something I have to get out. There's a message. There's something I have to be expressed. But it was like, I said to him, but I just am feeling like it's got to come out, but I don't know how or what. And he said to me, well, when you realize that that's just your work, meaning, you know, this incarnation, right? Cosmically speaking, in the biggest perspective, this is your work on the planet. During this incarnation, he said, when you realize it's just your work, you'll just be doing it. And you won't have to think, you know, you won't have to think about it. You'll just know that's what there is for you to do. I think that's what you're saying, Lena, is that, you know, a dog has to be a dog. A horse has to be a horse, and we have to be who we are. And of course, each horse and dog is unique too. But it's like, I think, that right now in this time frame, that anyone who's feeling some kind of an impulse, and we all are, because when we see this great shift going on, it gives us pause. We step back and we think, wow, you know, the world's a mess. Well, you know, there's that aspect of it too. Or you think, well, you know, everything's changing. How do I want to change? How do, you know, what's important to me now? What are my values now? How do I want to be going forward? And we have, and you find people, I'm sure you do in your clients, in your work, where you're getting that impulse. You're getting that tap on the shoulder. And you're saying, yeah, I really would like to do that, but where do I begin? Well, those are the impulses that are, it's like you, if you want to say your higher self, connecting, right, to your little self, where it's all one, but again, distinguishing it, to say, okay, if you're feeling that, go in that direction. Let's see what gets uncovered. And then you start to distinguish. And I think one of the clues to people discovering their purpose that I feel is one of the most important ones that I'd like to share with everyone now is, what do people, and it's not good grammar, what do people come to you for? Because, right, you get this? It's like, and maybe if you feel like answering it for yourself, because other people, you know, there's always that silent communication going on, right? We're always in an exchange. The quantum hologram, the whole event history of any body, any entity, is always carried with them. So who the person is, who you are, is getting communicated, you know, beyond just your words or what you say or even what you do. And it's like we know who each other are. And when we would do our programs, we would have people come together from all over the world, you know, in the same company, but they didn't really know each other or in our program. And we would do this day on the Hola Movement of Purpose. And when the person was, we'd be, you know, Alan and I'd be working with the person who's, we're distinguishing their purpose with them, and they're looking at their patterns. And we'd say, what do people come to you for? And maybe sometimes, you know, you're on the spot, you can't answer it. And we'd call on somebody else on the teleconference program with us and say, well, what do you think about Lena? And they go, well, they would be able to answer it because we exist in fields. So even though they don't really know Lena, but they can say, they see it, they feel it, they know it, however you want to say it. They get an impression. So when you look at this clue to your purpose, because the purpose gets expressed, it's like nature, how does nature get expressed? It's infinite expressions, okay? We're part of nature. So it's not like, you know, old worldview is, you know, I'm looking for the thing, my purpose, but it's not one thing. Purpose is always getting expressed, just like a dog is always expressing dogness. You're always expressing you-ness in everything you do, whether you were 5 years old, 15 years old, 25 years old, 50 years old. So you're, it, you know, it, you evolve your expression of your purpose as you develop yourself. Okay, so now we're in this time where we're all being called upon, you know, step up and be the leader of that which you're here to lead. It doesn't mean you're a formal leader in front of, you know, a group of a million or a thousand. It means that whatever unique gifts, talents, expressions, experiences that you've been given, you're the leader for that. And when you can distinguish it. So again, when someone says, what do people come to you for? They would have come to you for that when you were 5 years old, 15 years old, etc. Because we're reading each other. And we sense it. And then when somebody reflects it to you, you know it. But I do have to ask you something, Lena. Not you, if you don't mind. Because I saw that whole, you know, you worked with musicians and artists, and I don't know exactly what you did with them, but there's something about in what you're doing now where, how does the entertainment aspect of it, entertaining, I would say, is a more accurate way of asking you. Do you see that present or I think I'm bringing it up because I think you could go to another level with it if you don't mind. I'm putting you on the spot. But sometimes I just feel I have to say this. I'm saying it in the most, you know, benevolent way. But I was feeling something around where there's a reason. This is what I mean. We're given the training, you know, we're getting trained by divine intelligence. So how do I use that? So how do you see using that? Or, yeah, yes, in what you're doing.
Wow, well, that really does put me on the spot to think about it. I've never really.
Okay, you don't have to answer. It's just something to think about. Just think about it.
I think it's.
What? Or edit this part out.
No. I think it's a really profound question. So, what had always drawn me in that space was. I'd always magnetically been drawn to the behind the scenes, to being a support structure, to producing experiences, to helping people step into their light, which moves beyond being the star and moves more now into being a supernova, more into being a truer expression of their light, and helping to create experiences, helping to set the stage, helping them showcase that thing in their unique sense. There's also an element of producing, which we're both share, in the sense that I help people fulfill certain roles, whether it's in their marketing and that. So there is a production event planner in me.
But that's right. And I love what you said about the creating experiences. I think that's a key phrase here. Or, you know, where, especially, you know, from my point of, through my lens, where, you know, it's giving people the experience, like actually having people who you're working with or bringing together in your, you know, global projects where they're actually having an experience of what you're doing, you know, rather than, I don't mean rather than, but could have like, you know, an accumulation of people, projects, you know, missions, passions together. And then you could have, and to both that, there's something they experience. So let's say you were create, I'm not talking about you now. We're just talking, right? If you were, creating a website and when people come to the website, that it's not just information. It's that they're actually experiencing something. I don't know. That just came through me to say. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there needs to be... I'm seeing such a need for transcendence right now that we're living in a more
dimension. Right, because that's really... That's like the nature of intent, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you create... You could be doing it just naturally because that's who you are. But now what we're doing together in the conversation is distinguishing it. And then you realize, oh, right, that's part of my purpose. I'm here to create environments that give people, I'm just using that word, an experience of something that expands them, that enlightens them, that uplifts them, you know, inspires them. Then all of a sudden, that will begin playing out at even a deeper level. That's how this works, the power of mind. Because, you know, in the quantum worldview, or let's just say scientists say, you can only see, they can only see 4%, I'm sure you've heard this, of the material universe. That the other 96% is dark matter or dark energy. It's like they know there's something there, but they can't see it. So I like to use 10% because it's an easier figure. But I use this to say, when you create your intent, which is the active dynamic of creating for human beings, the passive dynamic is allowing. We're not used to allowing because we are in these, you know, human automatism. Okay, what do I do now? We have an idea. What do we do? Let's get in action. You know, so we're not creating an intent. You know, you plant the seed, you allow, you know, you nourish it with your actions. You watch it, watching the tree grow, and you're allowing for it to unfold. So this is something like intent. So you create a conscious intent, statement of intent. And I make a distinction between intent and intention. In quantum thing, intention being the end goal measurable, but intent being the activation of the energy intelligent field. So intent is a resonance. It brings about not one measurable result. It attracts to it many results that are consistent with the frequency range of that intent, with the resonance of that intent, with the meaning of that intent. So you're bringing about, you're activating a probability wave field and you're going to attract many things. So when you create your intent, right? Like you could create an intent, for someone who's not totally clear on their purpose. You could create an intent and it's always said, as if it already is, because what we hold in place is the reality, right? We're not, if we say, and I want it to be that, well, then you're saying in the background, it's not that. So we want to say it as if it already is. It's a context. It's not an absolute truth. It's not evidence-based. It's context-based. It's mind-based. So you would say, I'm delighted and grateful that the specifics of my purpose as the specifics of how I'm expressing my purpose going forward are being revealed to me. I'm excited about how my purpose is being revealed to me now in so many ways. So you see, it's not an end goal. You're saying, I'm happy that's happening now. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that's the seed of intent. And you decide, I'm going to live from that. You know, it's not the truth, but nor is it the truth. I don't see my purpose. That's not the absolute truth either. Mm-hmm. It's a question of, right? We were talking about the doomsday scenario of the world, or the, yay, we're going to a whole new, you know, age of enlightenment for humanity. So it's what do we want to live from? Uh-huh. So for yourself as an individual, you could live from this. I'm delighted that my purpose is being revealed to me in so many ways every day. Mm. And then allowing is an actual faculty of mind that we can use consciously. It's like,
can you just repeat that for everybody?
Okay. Allowing is an actual faculty of mind. It's not let the chips fall where they may, you know. Well, let's just see what happens. You know, because allowing is the passive dynamic of creation that's partners with intent. So you have an intent, and then what happens? Well, this is getting back to the dark matter, the 10% we can only see. We create an intent. We can only see, let's just use this figure, 10% of what's possible right now in a given moment in space time. Even what we can imagine, that's still only 10% of what's possible. Let's say there's another 90% that's related to your intent that you just cannot see right now. So how does that work? That's where this faculty of mind called allowing comes into play. But what happens when you're quantum thinking is you're aware of this distinction and you generate it consciously. Because, you know, I call it living in the unknowable. It's like you can't know it until it reveals itself. This is what makes life magical, by the way. You can't know it till it reveals itself. But you can know that it's going to reveal itself.
It always does. And that's
exactly. And it's exciting. And it's delightful. So what happens, because we live in an observer-creator reality, and this is how it all kicks in, the system.
Yeah.
System of thinking, it's like a language. Mm-hmm. When you're learning another language other than your native language, you're learning, right, all the elements, the vocabulary, the grammar, the whatever. And then all of a sudden, it kicks in. And now, you're thinking and speaking from that language. So this is like quantum thing. It's like you're learning, okay, observer creative reality, allowing, you know, those other things, being in one conversation, resonance, the whole movement of purpose. And it seems it's, you know, linear in a way it is. You're looking at it. And then all of a sudden, the totality of it kicks in. And that's really, by the way, leaning into the vortex. It's like jumping into a vortex. And that's why it's not, you know, I wrote, changing the world or my life one thought at a time. Ho hum, please. Imagine the agony, not to mention the impossibility of it. You can't monitor every thought. But when it's a system, it's like the road system. You go onto the road, you have free choice. You want to get from destination A to destination, I mean, from arrive, you know, what do you call it when you're leaving? I can't think of the word. Departure, that's it. Departure to destination, right? The departure point to destination. Well, if there were no road system, you know, you'd be meandering. Maybe you'd get there at some point. Take you forever. But what, because of the system, the system embraces you like a vortex, right? You step into the vortex and wow, now, right? You're in your supernova state. And that's how this works. So the allowing, I was trying to look in my book because I had one line in here that I thought would be helpful. But anyway, when you create, you plant your intent, your seed, your intent, and then you watch for what unfolds. And what I was adding in is because of the observer effect, what you focus on expands. The more you're looking for these clues to your purpose to be revealed to you, the more they show up. And, you know, we all know that thing is you decide to get a new car. You decide you're going to get, you know, a Mercedes. You never saw a Mercedes before on the road. You didn't notice it. Now you decided you're getting a Mercedes. And now that's all you see on the road. That's how this works. That is the nature of mind. And the ability to create with having that conscious, friendly, you know, make your mind your friend relationship with your very own mind.
Beautiful. Wow. I mean, that's what we're up for. That's what every single person listening to this podcast is up for. And that's the invitation we're invited to. That's the world that we're on the verge of. We're in the void of. And it's right there.
I know. It's very exciting. Because, you know, it can happen in a conversation. Here's the thing on allowing. Mm-hmm. Can I just read a few sentences here?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Allowing as a distinction does not mean to, quote, let things be as they are or let the chips fall as they may. As a distinction, allowing is a dynamic, powerful faculty of the mind, an essential factor in creating from intent. Allowing is not merely waiting for something to show up. This is the important part. Mm-hmm. Allowing is a passive yet conscious act of calling something forth from the quantum field. I'm going to say that again. Allowing is not merely waiting for something to show up. Allowing is a passive yet conscious act of calling something forth from the quantum field, even though we can't see or know at the outset exactly what is going to show up.
Wow, what a truth bomb.
The faculty of allowing is an undetermined unfolding from the quantum field of probability set up by a conscious intent. And that's what makes it magical and exciting. It's like, when you know that you're in an intelligent universe and you're part and parcel and we're here as collaborators, that, as you say, it's very exciting.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane. I am loving every breath of this conversation. I'm sitting here, as I said, on the edge of my chair, just lapping it all up and loving the way that you hold the space, the way that you hold the universe, the way that you transmute it, transmit it, and transcend it. Because it's been so unknown to us. Even though we've got a resonance with it, we haven't been able to know it. And your book is just a beautifully crafted, down-to-earth way of reconnecting with ourselves, with the universe, with the field of possibilities, with all things quantum, with all things magical, and all the dimensions that live between. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm just so pleased to be able to express what is coming through me to express and to be in the field of your whole presence, which is quite powerful. And I'm excited for what you're doing too. Thank you, Lena, for having me.
Absolute pleasure.
This is Lena Ski, hostess of the Supernova podcast, and I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to meet yourself, to meet your greatness, to meet the greatest opportunity you ever had. Not just for yourself, not just for your tribe, but for the world. Because in leaning into that, in leaning into the essence of who you really are, in letting yourself illuminate, ignite, and create the kinds of experiences that you want to have in the world is really what this conversation is all about. Here's to the next level of that conversation. Here's to the next level incantation of what that can be for you. Go on, stop being a star and start being a supernova. Start being who you really are. For more information, head on over to www.lenaski.com. That's lenaski.com.